primary relationship, whereas men who have affairs are no less happy with their marriages than men who refrain. Heidi Grayling and I conducted the second study, which revealed that women sometimes have affairs when they are trying to replace their current mate, or in order to make it easier to break off with a current mate. Casual sex partners sometimes bestow elevated status on their temporary mates. Women sometimes elevate their status by mating with a prestigious man, even if it is just an affair. In the economics of the mating marketplace, people assume that the woman must be special, since prestigious men generally have their pick of the most desirable women. Women may gain access to a higher social stratum from which they might secure a permanent mate. Women also can elevate their status within their own social circles and potentially secure a more desirable husband. Possible genetic benefits of short-term sex. It is also possible for women to gain superior genes through casual sex that are passed on to their children. Given men's proclivities for opportunistic sex, the economics of the mating marketplace render it far easier for a woman to get a man from a higher stratum or with better genes to have sex with her than it is for her to get him to marry her. A woman might try to secure the investment of a lower-ranking man by marrying him, for example, while simultaneously securing the genes of a higher-ranking man by mating with him casually. This dual strategy apparently exists in Great Britain, where the biologists Robin Baker and Mark Bellis have discovered that women typically have affairs with men who are higher in status than their husbands. One version of the better genes theory has been called the sexy son hypothesis. According to this view, women prefer to have casual sex with men who are attractive to other women because they will have sons who possess the same charming characteristics. Women in the next generation will therefore find these sons attractive, and the sons will enjoy greater mating success than the sons of women who mate with men who are not regarded as attractive by most women. Evidence for this theory comes from a study that identified key exceptions to women's more stringent selection criteria for long-term partners. Women are more exacting with regard to physical attractiveness in a casual encounter than they are in a permanent mate. The preference for physically attractive casual sex partners may be a psychological clue to a human evolutionary history in which women benefited through the success of their sexy sons. The strongest evidence of the good genes hypothesis comes from studies of women's preference shifts when ovulating. Large-scale statistical reviews of the 36 or so studies of cycle shifts find that ovulating women not on hormonal contraceptives do indeed show stronger preferences for masculine men, especially for masculine bodies and voices, as well as symmetrical men. Only women with mates low in genetic quality, however, stand to reap genetic benefits from an affair with a man who has the hypothesized good genes indicators. And some researchers argue that other hypotheses better explain ovulation preference shifts. Ovulating women, for example, experience a higher sex drive, may feel sexier and more desirable, and so feel that they can successfully attract men of higher mate value. The next decade of research will undoubtedly delve more deeply into the hidden genetic benefits to women of pursuing a short-term sexual strategy. One type of mating system puts sharp constraints on women's short-term mating and any benefits that might accrue from them, arranged marriages. Although we can never know for sure, anthropologists believe that many women during human evolutionary history did not contract their own marriages. The evidence for this belief is the prevalence of marriages arranged by fathers and other kin in today's tribal cultures, which are assumed to resemble the conditions under which humans evolved. The practice of arranged marriage is still common in many other parts of the world as well, such as India, Kenya, and the Middle East. Arranged marriages restrict the opportunities for women to reap the benefits of short-term mating. Even where matings are arranged by parents and kin, however, women often exert some influence over their sexual and marital decisions by manipulating their parents, carrying on clandestine affairs, defying their parents' wishes, and sometimes eloping. These forms of personal choice open the window to the benefits for women of short-term mating, including genetic benefits, even when their marriage is arranged by others. Costs of casual sex. All sexual strategies carry costs, and casual sex is no exception. Men risk contracting sexually transmitted diseases, acquiring a reputation as a womanizer or man-whore, or suffering injury from a jealous husband. A significant proportion of murders across cultures occur because jealous men suspect their mates of infidelity. Unfaithful married men risk retaliatory affairs by their wives and costly divorces. Short-term sexual strategies also take time, energy, and economic resources. Women sometimes incur more severe costs than men do. Women risk impairing their desirability if they develop a reputation for promiscuity, since men prize fidelity in a potential long-term mate. Women known as promiscuous suffer reputational damage even in relatively promiscuous cultures, such as among the Swedes and the Aceh Indians. A woman who adopts an exclusively short-term sexual strategy is at greater risk of physical and sexual abuse. Although women in marriages are also subjected to battering and even rape by husbands, the alarming statistics on the incidence of date rape, which some estimate to be 15 or 20% of all college women, reveal that women who are not in long-term relationships are at considerable risk. Mate preferences, if judiciously applied to avoid potentially dangerous men, can minimize these risks. Unmarried women who pursue casual sex risk getting pregnant and bearing a child without the benefits of an investing partner. In ancestral times, these children would have been at much greater risk of disease, injury, and death. Some women commit infanticide in the absence of an investing man. In Canada, for example, single women delivered only 12% of the babies born between 1977 and 1983, but they committed just over 50% of the 64 maternal infanticides reported to the police. This trend occurs across cultures as well, such as among the Baganda of Africa. But even this solution does not cancel the substantial other costs that women incur. 9 months of gestation, reputational damage, and lost mating opportunities. An unfaithful married woman risks the withdrawal of resources by her husband. From a reproductive perspective, she may be wasting valuable time in an extramarital liaison, obtaining sperm that are unnecessary for reproduction. Furthermore, she risks increasing the sibling competition among her children, who may have weaker ties because they were fathered by different men. Short-term mating, in short, poses hazards for both sexes. But because there are powerful benefits as well, women and men have evolved psychological mechanisms to select circumstances in which the costs of short-term mating are minimized and the benefits increased. Circumstances favorable for casual sex. Everyone knows some men who are womanizers and others who are exclusively monogamous. Everyone knows some women who enjoy casual sex and others who would not dream of sex without commitment. Individuals differ in their proclivities for casual mating. Individuals also shift their proclivities at different times and in different contexts. These variations in sexual strategy depend on a range of personal, social, cultural, and ecological conditions. The absence of an investing father during childhood has been reliably linked to the pursuit of a short-term sexual strategy. Among the Mayan of Belize and the Aceh of Paraguay, for example, father absence has been correlated with men stating that they are unwilling to commit the time, energy, and resources needed to sustain a long-term mateship. Women and men who grow up in father-absent homes are likely to reach puberty sooner, to start having intercourse earlier, and to pursue a short-term strategy after their sexual debut. Their father's absence may lead women to infer that men are not reliable investors and, thus, to pursue a short-term sexual strategy of obtaining some benefits from multiple men, rather than trying to secure the sustained investment of one man. There is some scientific controversy over the direction of effects and precisely what causes individual differences in sexual strategy. Is the shift to a short-term strategy when one's father is absent due to the harsher or more unpredictable environment resulting from the father's lack of investment? Or is it due to genes that father-absent dads pass on to their children? Yet another possibility is that stepfather presence, rather than father absence, prompts kids to spring into sexual action sooner. Moreover, biological fathers engage in heavier daughter guarding, which prevents girls from acting on their sexual impulses and encourages a long-term mating strategy. Future research is required to sort out these casual alternatives, but it is clear that individuals differ markedly in their inclination for short-term sex. Casual sex is also related to people's developmental stage in life. Adolescents in many cultures are more likely to use temporary mating as a means of assessing their value on the mating market, experimenting with different strategies, honing their attraction skills, and clarifying their own preferences. After they have done so, they are often ready for commitment or marriage. The fact that premarital adolescent sexual experimentation is tolerated and even encouraged in some cultures, such as the Mehinaku of Amazonia, provides a clue that short-term mating is related to one stage in life. The transitions between committed matings offer additional opportunities for casual sex. Upon divorce, for example, it is crucial to reassess one's value on the current mating market. The presence of children from the marriage generally lowers the desirability of divorced people. The elevated status that comes with being more advanced in their career, conversely, may raise their desirability. Precisely how all these changed circumstances affect a particular person may be evaluated by brief encounters, which allow a person to gauge more precisely his or her desirability on the mating market. The abundance or shortage of eligible men relative to eligible women is another critical context for temporary mating. Many factors affect this sex ratio, including wars, which kill larger numbers of men than women, risky activities such as fights, which more frequently affect men, intentional homicides, in which roughly 7 times more men than women die, and differential remarriage rates by age, whereby women remarry less and less often than men with increasing age. The modern phenomenon of more women than men enrolling in many colleges and universities in North America and Western Europe creates a sex ratio imbalance among the college-educated mating pool. At the University of Texas at Austin, for example, the student body in 2016 was 54% women and 46% men. This may not sound like a huge disparity, but in fact, it translates into a surplus of 17% more women than men. China's historical one-child policy, in contrast, created a surplus of men because parents selectively aborted female fetuses. Men shift to short-term sexual strategies when many women are sexually available because the sex ratio is in their favor and they are better able to implement their desire for variety. Among the Ashe, for example, men are highly promiscuous because there are 50% more women than men. Women shift to casual sex when there is a shortage of investing men available for marriage, or when there are few benefits to marriage. In some subcultures, notably in areas of concentrated poverty, men often lack the resources that women desire in a permanent mate. Where men do not have resources, women have less reason to mate with only one man. Similarly, when women receive more resources from their kin than from their husbands, they are more likely to engage in extramarital sex. Women in these contexts sometimes mate opportunistically with different men, securing greater benefits for themselves and their children. The rise of the hookup culture on many modern college campuses has been partly created by the increasing sex ratio imbalance as higher percentages of women compared to men seek higher education. In cultures where food is shared communally, women have less incentive to marry and often shift to temporary sex partners. The Ache of Paraguay, for example, communally share food secured from large game hunting. Good hunters do not get a larger share of meat than poor hunters. Women receive the same allotment of food regardless of whether they have a husband and regardless of the hunting skill of their husband. Hence, there is less incentive for Aceh women to remain mated with one man, and about 75% of them favor short-term relationships. The socialist welfare system of Sweden provides another example. Since food and other material resources are provided to everyone, women have less incentive to marry. As a result, only half of all Swedish couples who live together get married, and members of both sexes often pursue more casual relationships. Another factor that is likely to foster brief sexual encounters, although differently for men and women, is one's future desirability as a mate. A man at the apprenticeship stage of a promising career may pursue only brief affairs, figuring that he will be able to attract a more desirable long-term mate later on when his career is closer to its peak. A woman whose current desirability is low may reason that she cannot attract a husband of the quality she desires, and so may pursue carefree short-term relationships as an alternative to settling for someone who does not meet her standards. Certain legal, social, and cultural sanctions encourage short-term mating. Roman kings, for example, were permitted to take hundreds of concubines, and like Moroccan Emperor Moulay Ismail the Bloodthirsty, see Chapter 3, they cycled the young women out of the harem by the time they reached the age of 30. In Spain and France, it is an accepted cultural tradition that men who can afford it keep mistresses in apartments, a short-term arrangement outside the bounds and bonds of marriage. The ideologies of some isolated groups and communes, a living arrangement that was especially popular during the late 1960s and early 1970s, and is present today among those practicing polyamory, encourage sexual experimentation with short-term relationships. The sexual strategies pursued by other people affect the likelihood of casual sex. When many men pursue short-term relationships, as in Russia in many large population cities, women are effectively forced into casual mating because fewer men are willing to commit, although some women choose to opt out of the mating game entirely. Or when one spouse has an extramarital affair, then the other may be motivated to even the score. Casual sex is never pursued in a vacuum. It is influenced by stage of life, mate value, sex ratios, cultural traditions, legal sanctions, and the strategies pursued by others. All of these circumstances affect the likelihood that a person will choose casual sex from the menu of human mating strategies. Casual sex as a source of power. Historically, the scientific study of mating has focused nearly exclusively on marriage. Human anatomy, physiology, psychology, and behavior, however, betray an ancestral past filled with opportunistic sex and affairs. The obvious reproductive advantages of such affairs to men may have blinded scientists to the benefits they had for women as well. Affairs involve willing women. Willing women seek or require benefits. This picture of human nature may be disturbing to some. Women may not be comforted by the ease with which men are sometimes willing to jump into bed with near strangers. Men may not be comforted by the knowledge that their partners continue to scan the mating terrain, encourage other men by flirting, offer hints of sexual accessibility, cultivate backup mates, and sometimes cheat with impunity. Human nature can be alarming. But viewed from another perspective, our possession of a complex repertoire of mating strategies gives us far more control of our own destiny. We choose from a large mating menu and are not doomed to a single invariant strategy. We tailor our mating strategies to our circumstances, be they an environment characterized by a sex ratio imbalance or a return entry into the mating market after a breakup. Moreover, the rapid rise of internet dating sites and mobile apps greatly expands the pool of potential mates, providing access to thousands of potential partners we would never otherwise encounter in our day-to-day lives. Modern technology and contemporary living conditions also allow people to escape many of the costs of casual sex that our ancestors experienced. Effective birth control, for example, allows us to avoid the costs of an unwanted or ill-timed pregnancy. The relative anonymity of urban living diminishes the reputational damage incurred by casual sex. Geographic mobility lowers the often restrictive influence of parents on the mating decisions of their children, and government safety nets lower the risks to survival for children produced by short-term liaisons. These reduced costs foster a fuller expression of the range of human mating within our complex repertoire. Acknowledging the full diversity of our mating strategies may violate our socialized conceptions of one and only bliss, but simultaneously, this knowledge gives us greater power to design our own mating destiny than any humans in our evolutionary past ever possessed. 5. Attracting a partner. Hearts have as many changing moods as the face has expressions. To capture 1,000 hearts demands 1,000 devices. Ovid, The Erotic Poems, The Art of Love. Knowing what we desire in a mate provides no guarantee that we will succeed in getting what we want. Success hinges on providing signals that we will deliver what the partner we desire is seeking. Because ancestral women valued high status in men, for example, men have evolved motivation for acquiring and displaying status. Because ancestral men desired youth and health in potential mates, women have evolved motivations to appear young and healthful. Competition to attract a mate, therefore, involves besting one's rivals in developing and displaying the characteristics most keenly sought by one's desired partners. In this co-evolutionary cycle, psychological mechanisms evolve in one sex to solve the adaptive problems imposed by the other sex. Just as the successful angler uses the lure that most closely resembles food that fits the fish's evolved preferences, so the successful competitor employs psychological tactics that most closely fit the evolved desires of the other sex. The characteristics that men and women value are keys to understanding the means of attracting a mate. Attracting a mate does not occur, however, in a social vacuum. Desirable partners elicit strong social competition for their attention. Successful attraction, therefore, depends not merely on providing signals that one will fulfill a potential mate's desires, but also on counteracting the seductive signals of rivals. Humans have evolved a method for running interference that is unique in the animal kingdom. The verbal derogation of competitors. Damaging a rival's reputation with a put-down, a slur, or an insinuation is part of the process of successfully attracting a mate. Derogatory tactics, like tactics of attraction, work because they exploit the psychological adaptations that predispose people to be sensitive to certain valuable qualities in possible mates, such as their resources or appearance. A man's communication to a woman that his rival lacks ambition can be effective only if the woman is predisposed to reject men who have a low future resource potential. Similarly, a woman who tactically slut-shames her rival works only if men are predisposed to reject women who might have difficulty remaining faithful. The success of both attractive and derogatory tactics hinges on whether the target of desire is seeking a casual sex partner or a long-term committed mate. Consider the case of a woman who denigrates a rival by casually mentioning that the rival has slept with many men. If the man is seeking a spouse, this tactic is highly effective because men dislike promiscuity in a potential wife. If the man is seeking casual sex, however, the woman's tactic is likely to backfire because most men pursuing easy sex are not bothered by a woman's past promiscuity. Similarly, overt displays of sexuality are effective short-term tactics for women, but are ineffective in the long run. Such displays get men's sexual attention, but do not motivate them to invest or commit. The effectiveness of attraction, in short, depends critically on the temporal context of the mating. Men and women tailor their attraction techniques to the length of the relationship they seek. The rules of play on the sexual field differ substantially from those of the marriage market. In long-term mating, both men and women prefer a long courtship, a process that permits evaluation of the nature and magnitude of the assets each person possesses and the costs they carry. Initial exaggerations of status or resources are revealed. Prior commitments to other mates surface. Children by former mates emerge. Prolonged assessment also allows both individuals to evaluate their mutual compatibility, which is essential for long-term mating. Casual affairs truncate this assessment, dramatically increasing the opportunities for deception. Exaggeration of prestige, status, and income may go undetected. Prior commitments remain concealed, information that damages a reputation comes too late. Casual mating, in short, is a rocky terrain where manipulation and deception can trip the unwary with every step. To compound this problem, deception usually occurs in the domains that are most important: status, resources and commitment for women, appearance and sexual fidelity for men, and personality qualities for both. The battle for casual sex is joined by both sexes, but not equally. The fact that more men than women seek casual sex partners creates a hurdle for men because there are fewer willing women. Women, therefore, tend to be more in control in short affairs than in the marital arena. For every attractive and sexually willing woman, there are usually dozens of men who would consent to have sex with her. Women can be very choosy because they have so many options to choose from. In committed relationships, in contrast, this level of choosiness is a luxury that only very desirable women can afford. Attracting a committed mate or casual mate requires display. Just as weaver birds display their nests and scorpion flies display their nuptial gifts, men and women must advertise their assets on the mating market. Because men's and women's desires differ, the qualities they display must differ. Generosity and resource display. The evolution of male strategies for accruing and displaying resources pervades the animal kingdom. The male roadrunner, for example, catches a mouse or baby rat, pounds it into a state of shock or death, and offers it to a female as her next meal, but without actually handing it over. Rather, the male holds it away from her while croaking and waving his tail. Only after the birds have copulated does he release his gift to the female, who uses it to nourish the eggs that the male has just fertilized. Males who fail to offer this food resource fail in the effort to attract females. Men, too, go to great lengths to display their resources to attract mates. The mate attraction studies conducted by my lab identified dozens of tactics that men and women use to attract a mate. We asked several hundred students from the University of California at Berkeley, Harvard University, and the University of Michigan to describe all the tactics they had observed in others or had used themselves. Their examples included bragging about accomplishments, talking about their importance at work, showing sympathy for the problems of others, initiating visual contact, and wearing sexy clothes. A team of four researchers reduced the larger set of more than 100 actions into 28 relatively distinct categories. The category display athletic prowess, for example, included actions such as working out with weights, impressing someone by twisting open difficult jars, and talking about athletic successes. Subsequently, 100 adult married couples and 200 unmarried university students evaluated each tactic for how effective it is in attracting a mate, whether it is more effective when employed in casual or long-term relationships, and how frequently they, their close friends, and their spouses employ it. One of the techniques employed by men is to display their tangible resources, showing a high earning potential, flashing a lot of money, driving an expensive car, telling women how important they are at work, and subtly revealing their accomplishments. Another technique men use is to deceive women about their resources by misleading them. For example, about their career expectations or exaggerating their prestige at work. Like the male roadrunner offering up his kill, men offer women resources as a primary method of attraction. Men also derogate their rivals' resources. Typical behavior includes spreading false rumors about a rival, making fun of a rival's appearance, scoffing at a rival's accomplishments, and telling others that a rival has a sexually transmitted disease. All of these actions would fall into one of the 28 categories classified by our research team. For example, the category of derogating a competitor's intelligence includes making the rival seem dumb, telling others that the rival is stupid, and mentioning that the rival is an airhead. Men also counteract the attraction tactics of other men by derogating a rival's resource potential. Typically, men tell women that their rivals are poor, have no money, lack ambition, or drive cheap cars. Women are far less likely to derogate a rival's resources. When they do, the tactic is less effective than when men do it. Timing plays a key role in determining the effectiveness of different types of resource display. Immediate displays of wealth, such as flashing money, buying a woman gifts, or taking her out to an expensive restaurant on the first date, prove more effective for attracting casual sex partners than long-term mates. In bars where opportunities for imparting resources are limited, men frequently initiate contact with prospective sex partners by offering to buy them drinks. Generosity with resources is critical in both casual and committed mate attraction. Giving a waitress a large tip, for example, indicates not just the possession of wealth, but also the critical willingness to share it. One study found that men contributed more to charity when they were being observed by women, but not when being observed by men. Women's charity contributions, in contrast, did not vary across different observer conditions. Men benefit by showing generosity with resources because women are turned off by signs of stinginess in all mating contexts. Showing the potential for having resources by exhibiting studiousness at college or describing ambitious goals to a woman is more effective for attracting long-term mates than casual sex partners. Derogation tactics also reveal the importance of timing. Putting down the financial potential of a rival is most effective in long-term mating. Telling a woman that the rival will do poorly in his profession or lacks ambition is highly effective in the committed mating market, but relatively ineffective when it comes to competition for casual sex. These findings mesh perfectly with the preferences that women express in the same two contexts, desiring immediate resources from brief affairs and reliable future resources from enduring mates. Wearing costly clothing works equally well in both contexts. Women, shown slides of different men, are more attracted to men who wear expensive clothing, such as three-piece suits, sports jackets, and designer jeans, than to men who wear cheap clothing, such as tank tops and t-shirts. Clothing has this effect on women whether they are evaluating a man as a marital or sex partner, perhaps because expensive clothing signals both immediate resources and future resource potential. The anthropologists John Marshall Townsend and Gary Levy have verified that the effect of the expense and status of clothing in attracting women is robust across any sort of involvement, from merely having coffee with a man to marriage. The same men were photographed wearing either a Burger King uniform with a blue baseball cap and a polo-type shirt, or a white dress shirt with a designer tie, a navy blazer, and a Rolex watch. Based on these photographs, women stated that they were not at all open to dating, sex, or marriage with the men in the low-status clothing, but were willing to consider all these relationships with men wearing the high-status attire. The importance of resources to attraction is not limited to Western cultures. Among the Siriono of eastern Bolivia, one man was a particularly unsuccessful hunter. He suffered a loss of status and had lost several wives to men who were better hunters. The anthropologist A.R. Holmberg began hunting with this man, gave him game that others were told he had killed, and taught him how to kill game with a shotgun. Eventually, as a result of the man's increased hunting prowess, he was enjoying the highest status, had acquired several new sex partners, and was insulting others instead of being insulted by them. The power of imparting resources is no recent development. Ovid observed precisely the same phenomenon 2,000 years ago, testifying to the long-standing nature of this tactic over human written history. Girls praise a poem, but go for expensive presents. Any illiterate oaf can catch their eye, provided he's rich. Today is truly the golden age. Gold buys honor. Gold procures love. We still live in that golden age. Demonstrating commitment. Displays of love, commitment, and devotion are powerful attractions to a woman. They signal that a man is willing to channel his time, energy, and effort to her over the long run. Commitment is difficult and costly to fake because commitment is gauged from repeated signals over time. Men who are interested only in casual sex are unlikely to invest this much effort. The reliability of commitment display as a signal renders it an especially effective technique for attracting women. The mate attraction studies confirm the power of displaying commitment in the long-term mating market. Discussing cohabitation or marriage signals that a man would like to integrate the woman into his social and family life, commit his resources to her, and perhaps have children with her. Offering to convert to her religion shows a willingness to accommodate to her needs. Showing a deep concern for her problems communicates emotional support and a commitment to be there in times of need. The 100 newlywed women we surveyed all reported that their husbands displayed these signals during their courtship, confirming that they were highly effective when used. One strong signal of commitment is a man's persistence in courtship. It can take the form of spending a lot of time with a woman, seeing her often, dating her for an extended period of time, calling her frequently on the phone, and texting or emailing her frequently. These tactics are highly effective at attracting long-term mates, with average effectiveness ratings of 5.48 on a 7-point scale, but only moderately effective, 4.54, at attracting sex partners. Furthermore, persistence in courtship proves to be more effective for a man than for a woman, because it signals that he is interested in more than casual sex. The effectiveness of sheer persistence in courtship is illustrated by a story told by one newlywed. "Initially, I was not interested in John at all. I thought he was kind of nerdy, so I kept turning him down and turning him down. But he kept calling me up, showing up at my work, arranging to run into me. I finally agreed to go out with him just to get him off my back. One thing led to another, and 6 months later we got married." Persistence also worked for a German university professor. While returning to Germany by train from a professional conference in Poland, he started talking to an attractive physician, 12 years his junior. The conversation became animated as their attraction for one another grew. The physician was on her way to Amsterdam, not Germany, and before long the station where she had to change trains was upon them. The physician said goodbye to the professor, but he insisted on helping her with her luggage and carried it to a station locker for her. As his train pulled away from the station, the professor berated himself for failing to seize the moment. He decided to take action. At the next station, he got off and boarded another train back to where he had left the physician. He searched the station in vain. There were no signs of her. On foot, he searched all the stores and shops surrounding the station. No luck. Finally, he went back to the station and planted himself in front of the locker into which he had loaded her luggage. When she eventually returned, she was surprised to see him and impressed by his persistence in tracking her down. A year later, she left her native Poland to marry him in Germany. Without tenacity, the professor would have lost her irretrievably. Persistence pays. Displays of kindness, which also signal commitment, figure prominently in successful attraction techniques. Men who demonstrate an understanding of a woman's problems, show sensitivity to her needs, act compassionately toward her, and perform helpful deeds succeed in attracting women as long-term mates. Kindness works because it signals that the man cares for the woman, will be there for her in good times and bad, and will channel resources to her. It signals long-term romantic interest rather than purely sexual interest. Another tactic for revealing kindness is to display nurturance toward children. In one study, women saw photos of the same man in three different conditions, standing alone, interacting positively with a baby, and ignoring a baby in distress. Women were most attracted to the man when he acted warmly toward the baby and were least attracted to him when he ignored the baby in distress. When men, however, were shown analogous photos of a woman standing alone, showing positive feelings toward a baby, and ignoring a baby in distress, their attraction to her was identical in all these contexts. Showing nurturance toward the young is apparently an attraction tactic that is effective mainly for men and works by signaling a proclivity to commit to and care for children. Showing warmth toward a cute puppy or kitten might have similar effects. Men also signal their commitment by showing loyalty and fidelity. Signs of promiscuity, in contrast, indicate that the man is pursuing a purely sexual mating strategy. Short-term strategists typically distribute their attentions and resources over several women. Out of 130 possible ways for men to attract a mate, women regard showing fidelity as the second most effective action, just a shade behind displaying an empathic understanding of the woman's problems. Because fidelity signals commitment, an effective tactic for denigrating a rival is to question the rival's sexual intentions. When a man tells a woman that his rival just wants casual sex, for example, women are turned off to that rival for committed mating. Similarly, saying that a rival cheats on women and cannot stay loyal to just one woman is highly effective at decreasing a rival's long-term attractiveness to women. Displays of love provide another sign of commitment. A man can attract a woman by doing special things for her, showing a loving devotion to her and saying, "I love you." Men and women rate these actions as among the top 10% of all tactics for attracting a woman for commitment. Demonstrations of love convey cues to long-term intentions. Whereas signals of commitment prove highly effective in attracting long-term mates, creating an illusion of commitment can be effective in attracting and seducing a woman. Men looking for casual liaisons compete by mimicking what women desire in enduring mateships. This tactic is especially potent when women use casual sex to evaluate prospective husbands. Women are more receptive, even in the short term, to men who appear to embody their ideals in a long-term mate. Some men exploit this tactic to attract women as casual sex partners. The psychologists William Took and Laurie Kamiri studied exploitative and deceptive attraction tactics in a university population. From a nomination procedure parallel to the one used in the attraction studies, they assembled a list of 88 ways in which men and women deceive one another in the service of attracting a mate. Participants reported misleading the other sex about career expectations, sucking in their stomachs when walking near members of the opposite sex, appearing to be more trusting and considerate than they really were, and acting uninterested in having sex when sex actually loomed large in their thoughts. A singles bar study produced similar results. Four researchers spent approximately 100 person hours sitting in singles bars in Washtenaw County in Michigan, writing down each attraction tactic they witnessed. Through this procedure, they observed 109 attraction tactics, such as sucking seductively on a straw, offering to buy someone a drink, sticking out one's chest, and staring at someone's body. Then, a different sample of 100 university students evaluated these tactics for their probable effectiveness at attracting them when employed by a person of the other sex. Women stated that the most effective tactics for attracting them would be displaying good manners, offering help, and acting sympathetic and caring. Mimicking what women want in a husband by showing kindness and sincere interest, in short, is also an effective technique for luring women into brief sexual liaisons. The deception study found that men use several tactics to deceive women about their intentions. Men pretend to be interested in starting a relationship when they are not really interested, and act as if they care about a woman even though they really do not. Most men are fully aware that feigning commitment is an effective tactic for short-term sexual attraction, and they admit to deceiving women by this means. Men using Tinder, Hinge, and other dating apps admit that they pretend to be open to being in a relationship, even though their real interest lies in racking up large numbers of short-term sexual conquests. One man, who estimated that he had hooked up with 30 or 40 women over the past year through dating apps, admitted, "I sort of play that I could be a boyfriend kind of guy in order to win them over. But then they start wanting me to care more, and I just don't." As the biologist Lynn Margulis notes, any animal that can perceive can be deceived. Deception consists of mimicking the truth, comments the biologist Robert Trivers, in describing how the technique works. It is a parasitism of the pre-existing system for communicating correct information. Whenever females look for investing males, some males deceive about their willingness to invest. Certain male insects offer females food only to take it back after the copulation is complete. They then use the same resources to court another female. For females, this strategy poses the problem of detecting deception, discovering insincerity, and penetrating disguise. One of the human solutions to this problem is to place a premium on honesty. Displaying honesty is, in fact, a powerful tactic a man can use to obtain a long-term mate. This tactic conveys that the man is not simply seeking a transient sex partner. Of the 130 identified tactics to attract a female mate, three of the top ones suggest openness and honesty. Acting truthful with the woman, communicating feelings to her directly and openly, and simply being oneself. All of these tactics are among the most effective 10% of all attraction tactics that men can use. Because of the adaptive problem historically imposed on women by men's dual sexual strategy of short-term and long-term relationships, tactics that allow women a clear window for evaluating a man's actual characteristics and intentions prove to be highly attractive. Signals of dishonesty conceal those characteristics and intentions, rendering that assessment window cloudy or opaque. If signs of commitment are highly effective, cues that resources are already committed elsewhere undermine attraction. Roughly 30% of the men on the Tinder app, which is widely regarded as a short-term mating app, are married. Among the men who patronize Singles Bar, many are married or have steady relationships. Some have children who command large shares of their resources. These men report removing their wedding rings before entering the bars. After intensive grilling of men at one Singles Bar, researchers found that 12 people admitted that they were married. We suspected that others were married by somewhat rather undefinable qualities, sometimes connected with a rather mysterious withholding of various kinds of information about everyday lifestyles. Because being married clearly interferes with attracting women, it becomes a liability for men who fail to conceal it. University students confirm that knowledge of prior commitments hinders a man's efforts to attract a woman. Indeed, out of 83 tactics that men can perform to render a rival less attractive to women, mentioning that he has a serious girlfriend is seen as the most effective one. Signals of commitment help men to attract women because they signal that they are pursuing a long-term sexual strategy. These displays communicate that his resources will be channeled exclusively to her. Revealing physical prowess. Men display physical and athletic prowess in modern times as part of their tactical arsenal for attracting women. Newlywed and undergraduate couples alike report that men display their strength roughly twice as often as women and display athletic prowess roughly 50% more often than women as part of their courtship tactics. Furthermore, displays of strength and athleticism are judged to be significantly more effective for attracting mates when used by men. Flexing muscles, playing sports, mentioning feats of athletic prowess, and lifting weights all feature more prominently in men's attraction tactics. College students' evaluations of derogation tactics reveal that displays of physical and athletic prowess are significantly more effective for attracting casual sex partners than for attracting spouses. Perhaps this is why men are more likely to show photos of themselves revealing upper torso shots with bulging biceps and six-pack abs on hookup sites like Tinder than on more serious dating sites like eHarmony or OkCupid. The derogation tactics that stand out as more effective in casual contexts than permanent ones include putting down a rival's strength and athletic ability. Mentioning that a rival is physically weak, outshining a competitor in sports, and physically dominating a rival are more effective short-term than long-term tactics. These studies support the common observation that male athletes, especially star players, enjoy success at attracting women for casual sex. Among the Yanomamo, a man's status is heavily determined by his physical feats, which include chest-pounding duels, axe fights, combat against neighboring villages, and physically vanquishing rivals. The status gained through physical prowess translates into greater sexual access, which historically was a key route to greater reproductive success. Indeed, men who have demonstrated their prowess through killing other men, unokai, have more wives and more children than same-aged non-unokai men. Physical and athletic displays, in short, have always been powerful attractors in traditional and modern societies alike. Showing bravado and self-confidence. Displays of masculine self-confidence prove effective for men seeking to attract mates, but are significantly more effective in attracting casual than committed mates. Acting conceited or macho, bragging about one's accomplishments, and showing off are all judged by college students to be more effective for men in attracting sex partners than wives. The effectiveness of bravado and confidence is reflected in a story told by a woman in a singles bar. I was sitting at a corner table talking to my girlfriend and sipping on a gin and tonic. Then Bob walked in. He acted like he owned the place, smiling broadly and very confident. He caught my eye, and I smiled. He sat down and started talking about how horses were his hobby. He casually mentioned that he owned a horse farm. When the last call for alcohol came, he was still talking about how expensive his horses were, and said that we should go riding together. He said, "In fact, we could go riding right now." It was 2 a.m., and I left the bar and had sex with him. I never did find out whether he owned horses. Self-confidence signals status and resources. Among newlyweds, for example, men scoring high on self-confidence earn significantly more money than men with lower self-confidence. Self-confidence translates into success in finding sex partners. A woman at a singles bar put it this way: "Some guys just seem to know what they're doing. They know how to approach you and to just make you feel good. Then you get those nerds who can't get anything right. They come on strong at first but can't keep it together. They just hang around until you dump them by going to the restroom or over to a friend to talk." Women distinguish false bravado from real self-confidence, and they find the genuine article more attractive. Men high in self-esteem tend to approach physically attractive women and ask them for dates, regardless of their own physical attractiveness. Men low in self-esteem, in contrast, avoid approaching attractive women, believing that their chances are too slim. Self-confidence is responsive to feedback. In singles bars, men rebuffed by women in their first few attempts produce successively less confident approaches. Rejection produces a downward cycle of resentment, hostility, and sometimes a cessation of all tactics. One man in a singles bar commented after a third woman had rebuffed him, "You need steel balls to make it in this place." Apparently, the psychological pain and lowered confidence experienced by rejected men caused them to reevaluate their sexual techniques, lower their sights to women who have lower appeal, and wait until circumstances are more favorable for further attempts. Another tactic is to feign confidence. According to the deception study, men boast and brag to make themselves appear better, act more masculine than they really feel, and behave more assertively around women than they really are. Men strut for a reason: to increase their odds of succeeding in sex. Not all displays of bravado and confidence are directed toward attracting the opposite sex. They are also directed toward other men in an attempt to elevate status and prestige within the group. College men exaggerate the number of their sex partners, mislead others about how many women express a desire for them, exaggerate their own sexual skills, and act braver than they really feel. These are tactics of status competition. Men compete for position, resources, and signs of elevated prestige. If a man can obtain the deference of other men by elevating his position in the sexual domain, his status typically translates into greater access to desirable women. The fact that men select this tactic primarily in casual mating contexts provides circumstantial support for the sexy son hypothesis. Men who display their bravado and sexual conquests signal to women that they are sexually attractive to women in general. Like the peacock displaying his plumage, these strutting men may be more likely to have sons who are attractive to women in the next generation, assuming some heritability of these proclivities. This display of bravado is sometimes exploited by other males. To attract females, for example, male bullfrogs sit at the edge of a pond and emit loud, resonant croaks. Females listen carefully to the chorus of male sounds and select one to move toward. The louder and more resonant the croak, the more attractive it is to females. The larger, healthier, and more dominant the male, the more resonant his croaks. The dominant male strategy, therefore, is to emit the loudest and most resonant croaks possible. Sitting silently near the dominant male is a smaller, weaker male. He emits no croaks and attracts no attention. But as a female approaches the dominant sounds, the silent male darts from his hiding place, intercepts her, and quickly copulates. This strategy, called a satellite or sneak strategy, illustrates the exploitation of dominant males by less dominant males who cannot compete directly. Humans also use this strategy, which is humorously depicted in the Woody Allen film Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Sex But Were Afraid to Ask. The scene opens with men dressed up as sperm who are fighting with each other over access to an egg. The macho male sperm battle furiously. When they have defeated each other and all lie down exhausted, a small sperm, played by Woody Allen, steps out cautiously from behind a curtain where he has been cowering and proceeds to hop onto the egg. Men also sometimes use this sneak strategy, as we found in studies of mate poaching. We asked 50 men and 50 women which strategies they would use to attract someone who was already mated with someone else. One of the most frequently used tactics is pretending to be friends with the couple and then switching into mating mode when the opportunity arises. Once in close proximity, mate poachers encourage rifts in the couple's relationship. I don't think your partner appreciates you. You are too good for him. I think you deserve someone better, someone who treats you like the princess you are, someone like me. A less common male poaching tactic is to feign femaleness. Among the sunfish in the lakes of Ontario, for example, a small male mimics a female and enters the nesting site of the dominant male. The mimicry reduces the odds of being attacked. Once inside the territory, however, the small male quickly fertilizes the eggs that have already been deposited by the females, cuckolding the dominant, territory-holding male. A rare tactic among humans is to feign homosexuality so as not to incur the suspicion of the dominant man, and then attempt to have sex with the woman when he is not around. Nonetheless, it is interesting that a few college men report having observed it. In general, pretending to be non-threatening as a potential mate poacher, for instance by pretending to be a friend of the man or pretending to be already committed to another woman, is more common. Like bullfrogs and sunfish, humans occasionally use sneaky strategies. Enhancing appearance. Just as men's successful tactics for attracting women depend on women's desires in a mate, women's attraction tactics depend on men's preferences. Women who succeed appear reproductively valuable by embodying physical and behavioral cues that signal their youth and physical attractiveness. Women who fail to fulfill these qualities lose a competitive edge. Because men place a premium on appearance, competition among women to attract men centers heavily on enhancing their physical attractiveness along youthful and healthful lines. Bolstering this practice is the cosmetics industry, which is supported mainly by women. Although men are spending increasing amounts on cosmetic products, women still outspend men roughly 9-1. Women's magazines include an avalanche of advertisements for beauty products. Men's magazines, in contrast, advertise cars, electronics, and alcoholic beverages. Advertisements in men's magazines that promise appearance enhancement are typically for muscle-building products or for deodorants and shower gels with scents advertised as being attractive to women. Women do not compete to signal accurate information. Rather, they compete to activate men's evolved psychological standards of beauty, which are keyed to youth and health. Because flushed cheeks and high color are cues that men use to gauge a woman's health, women rouge their cheeks artificially to trigger men's attraction. Because smooth, clear skin is one of men's evolved desires, women cover up blemishes, use moisture cream, apply astringents, and get facelifts. Because lustrous hair is one of men's evolved desires, women highlight, bleach, tint, or dye their hair, and they give it extra body with conditioners, egg yolks, beer, or weaves. Because full red lips trigger men's evolved desires, women apply lipstick skillfully and even get injections to enlarge their lips for the bee-stung look. And because firm, youthful breasts stimulate men's desires, women obtain breast implants and wear push-up bras. Women report using makeup to accentuate their looks 20 times as often as men. Women go on diets to improve their figures, get new and interesting haircuts, and spend over an hour a day on their appearance.